Let's read Psalm 74. In this national lament psalm, Asaph calls on God to remember his people in view of the enemy who had ruined the sanctuary and defeated the nation. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses. Psalm 74, beginning with verse 1. O God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. And now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 74, with some background notes. We see from the title of this psalm that it is another maskil of Asaph, like Psalm 73. That is a contemplative psalm of wisdom and insight, along with instruction. Asaph, remember, was a contemporary of David. And we know from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 5, that Asaph was appointed by David to direct Israel's worship in the ministry of music. Now that leads to a slight problem in the dating of this psalm. We see in verses 1 through 8 of this psalm, the verses that we just read, that the occasion of this psalm seems to be the destruction of the temple. Notice in verses 1 and 2 that Asaph is calling on God to remember his people who have suffered a major stroke of God's discipline, including the loss of God's presence on Mount Zion. Verses 1 and 2 once again. O God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation which you purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. And then in verses 3 through 8, we have a vivid description of the destruction of the temple. Let's read these verses once again. Verse 3, lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. And now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. Notice in verse 6 that the enemy destroyed all the elaborate carved work of the temple. And in verse 7, the enemy completely burned the sanctuary to the ground. So if the author of this psalm is the Asaph of David's time, this cannot be the destruction of the temple, because there was no temple in David's time. And it can't be the destruction of the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was never on Mount Zion, verse 2. And the temporary tent that David put up in Jerusalem for the Ark of the Covenant did not have elaborate carvings, verse 6. And that special tent was not destroyed by some enemy. The easiest solution to this dating problem is to realize that the Asaph who wrote this psalm is not the Asaph of David's time, but probably a descendant of that Asaph, who lived at the time of the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Now, some commentators have suggested dating this Asaph and this psalm as late as the intertestamental period, with the destruction of the temple described here being the destruction of the rebuilt temple by Antiochus Epiphanes, and the meeting places of God in verse 8, being the synagogues that were begun in the intertestamental period. But that temple was never burned to the ground, verse 7. In fact, it was cleansed at the time of the Maccabees in 165 BC. And there were certainly meeting places of God throughout the land before the synagogues. Think of the 48 Levitical cities, for example. and the schools of the prophets scattered throughout the land. Furthermore, all indications are that the entire book of Psalms was completed by the time of the intertestamental period. So this psalm was probably written by Asaph soon after the destruction of the temple in 586 BC, and this Asaph was a descendant of the Asaph who was a contemporary of David. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, believers can call on God based on his past activities. Believers can call on God based on his past activities, verses 9 through 17. Let's read verses 9 through 11. Psalm 74, beginning now with verse 9. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. O God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. The point of verse 9 is that with the destruction of the temple and the captivity of the people, all signs that Israel was God's people were gone. The temple was no more, and the ministry of the prophets had apparently come to an end. How long would God tolerate such blasphemy by the enemy? Verse 10. Why did God not raise his hand and judge these pagans? Verse 11. But now in verses 12 through 17, Asaph calls on God to act on behalf of his people based on his past activities. Verse 12, for God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. In verses 13 and 14, Asaph recalls the Exodus and the crossing of the Red Sea. Verses 13 and 14, you divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of the Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. The sea monsters and the Leviathan here are figurative for the Egyptian forces, which ironically perished in the sea, their home environment. And of all things, the victory went to the people who had escaped to the wilderness, that is, the children of Israel. Verse 15 recalls God's provision in the wilderness, and then the crossing of the Jordan River. Verse 15, you broke open the fountain and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. In verses 16 and 17, the psalmist goes all the way back to God's past activities of creation. Verses 16 and 17, the day is yours, the night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. As Asaph called on God based on what God had already done in history, so we can call on God based on what we know he has already done for us. That's really the point of Romans 8:32, isn't it? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Believers can call on God based on his past activities. Doctrinal point number two. Believers can call on God based on his present assurances. Believers can call on God based on his present assurances. Verses 18 through 21. Psalm 74, beginning now with verse 18. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. In verses 18 and 19, Asaph likens Israel to a turtle dove and the Babylonian forces to a wild beast. And he calls on the Lord to vindicate his name and not forget his people. Verses 18 and 19. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. O, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Now notice in verse 20 how Asaph appeals to God's ongoing covenant with his people. Beginning of verse 20, have respect to the covenant. This would be the unconditional Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 12, in which God promised that he would preserve his people and bless those who blessed Israel and curse those who cursed Israel, like the cruel Babylonians who were still in the land when this psalm was written by Asaph. End of verse 20. For the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. So even though Judah was defeated and Jerusalem had fallen, in view of God's unconditional covenant with his people, Asaph calls on the Lord with confidence to preserve the honor of Israel so that even the poor and needy would praise the Lord in these troublesome times. Verse 21, oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. We too can call on the Lord in the midst of troubles and trials with confidence based on the assurance of the Lord's promises. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. The Lord said that no one would be able to snatch his sheep out of his hand. John 10, 28. Romans 8, 28 says that all things work together for good for the believer. And Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 says that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Believers can call on God based on his present assurances. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 74? Make sure you're in the right rise up company of Psalm 74. Make sure you're in the right rise up company of Psalm 74. Verses 22 and 23. Arise or rise up, O God, plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. The tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually. Now, do you see the two rise up companies in these verses? In verse 23, there is the company of unbelievers who rise up and mock God and rise up against God. This was the company of the pagan Babylonians who mocked the God of Israel as they destroyed his temple in Jerusalem. This is the company of many people today who mock even the very existence of God as well as his moral standards. In verse 22, there is another rise up company. This is the company of believers who call on God to rise up and defend his name and put down the mockers and fools who do not honor God. This was the cry of the godly remnant when the Babylonian forces overran Jerusalem, the city of God's temple and dwelling place. This is the company of godly believers today that long for the name of God to be vindicated and for his righteousness to be established and prevail on this earth. Now, which rise-up company are you in? When you question God's ways and doubt his goodness, how close are you to the company of mockers and fools? Make sure you're in the right rise-up company of Psalm 74.